The Masters was a survival tactic.
Oh, how's that a survival tactic?
Oh, man. So, we were supposed to graduate in the spring. A, B's, F.
What up, everybody? This is the Six and Friends podcast. This is your host, CJ the Six, and I got my man Bacon on the mic from Team Stop Playing. What's up, Bacon?
Man, what's going on, man? I'm glad to be here. Team Stop Playing in the building.
Hey, so you from Houston, Texas?
No, so I'm actually from Crockett, Texas, which nobody usually knows. So I usually just go with Houston or Dallas during the summers, raised in both. But I'm originally from Crockett, Texas, 758-35-936. I had to do that for all my Team Stop Playing listeners for back in Crockett, Texas. But that's where I'm born and raised from. And that's my city, college here.
Yeah, because I'm from a small town. So when people ask me where I'm from, I either claim Auburn just because of the university or Atlanta. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But Atlanta, hour and a half away. So
Yeah. Same here. Mine is even smaller, like a 2A high school. Well, it went from 3A when I was going to a 2A high school now. So I graduated with like 126, 121.
Oh, I got you beat. I graduated with 75.
Yeah, you were like, so with us, I would probably be a 2A at that time frame, 2A, yeah.
We're 1A now, but that's whatever.
Yeah, see, I'll drop two. See, that's what it is.
Now, when you grew up, and I've seen a couple of pictures of you whenever you go back home, you're always like riding horses and shit.
Yeah.
And people like to call me country.
Right.
I have country tendencies because like my paternal grandma, they got like 15 acres of land. Her and my granddad stayed in one trailer. And then a quarter mile away, you got my uncle, the eldest son, right. The second eldest son.
Right.
And then the oldest daughter, they all got their own trailers that like face each other.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
Come down that block, you're getting rolled on. I know what that means. That's where I come from. That's called dead end. I had some families called dead end, man. You go down there, you know who stay down there.
Oh, yeah. And then we had my cousins. They stayed with my grandma and granddad. The youngest son and the youngest daughter still stayed there. Had ATVs. The craziest thing was, like, some weekends we used to go out to ride the ATVs down to the lake.
Facts.
Go fishing, you know what I'm saying? Catch about 10, 15 fish. Bring them back to my grandma. She skin them, cut them, cook them, and then we eat.
Yeah. I used to scale them with a spoon. See, I don't even know that trick. That's that. You got to take them off with a spoon. The spoon hit glide right over their body and take the scales right off.
See,
catfish, you got to fillet them joints. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, catfish, like, I ain't go noodling, though. We ain't do none of that. But nah, we're going to fish for catfish all the time.
Yeah.
What do you think is one of the greatest aspects of, like, growing up, I guess, in the country, away from the city?
Man, so you don't see it when you're younger, and I see it now. And it's the fact that I was raised by a village. And when I mean a village, auntie, sister, cousin, person that cut your hair, a neighbor, if they caught you, they was giving it to you. And then they would drag you back down to your mom's house or whoever was the closest person in your family, because everybody knew everybody, and say, boom, such and such did this. You got tagged by them. So you was hoping that they took you to your mom's or dad's first and not to grandma. So then the grandma tag you and be like, I'm calling your mama. So when your mama get there, then you got tagged. So that was 3-in-1. So you never knew who was watching. Why they always say, hey, everything you do in the dark comes to light. Like, you can't hide anything. Mm-hmm. When nobody's looking, somebody's looking. That's where they originated from, the country, man. You get tagged by anybody in the community.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah.
I ain't really experienced that part because I was more country adjacent. You know, I did live in a small town, but, like, I was at my grandma's house, like,
right,
from time to time.
Right.
Now, granted, out there, I ain't getting too much trouble because we be outside all day.
For us, our trouble from the city trouble is totally different.
That's true, yeah.
You might be around so much concrete, so much businesses, this, that, and the other. You might be breaking windows. You might be, not saying city folks, rob, steal, do all that stuff. We say we don't. But you got a lot more activities to do.
Mm-hmm.
Us, half the people do you see going to NBA and NFL is country. We ain't had nothing to do but play ball all day, every day. Why you think you got so many skateboarders? That's what was closest to them, and they was in the hood, and they didn't know what else to do. They see the block, and they see skateboard. People getting shot, people over there smiling, having fun. Which one I want to do?
Easy decision.
Yeah. Sometimes. Sometimes.
Yeah, because, like, especially when, like, that manual labor, like, just become,
ooh,
like.
Ooh, don't even go in there. Oh, man.
Actually, I got a homie out here. His family stayed on, like, I guess it's a ranch, right?
Right.
They got some horses and stuff. And he was telling me how, like, one weekend, woke up at 6.
Yeah.
You know, took the horses down.
Yeah.
So, wherever, had to feed them. Then had to, like, grab them glove, take the barbed wire, move it to the other side of the.
Had to clean out these stalls. Had to put up fences. Like, bro, by 10. Do you know what baling hay is?
Nah.
Okay. So, baling hay is basically got a field, couple hundred acres. They cut it. They bale it into square, like, rectangle blocks. Those blocks probably weigh 100 pounds a piece. Mm. You picking those up, throwing them on a 40-foot gooseneck-long trailer. What is that? Like, 30-foot high? And it's a technique to it. You think a 10-year-old can't do it, but a 10-year-old might be the one dragging them in line because they thrown all over the field.
Oh, okay.
So you have the older boys, 13, 14, throwing them on the trailer. Well, you got your big boy on the trailer. Whoever your 18, whoever is, he's stacking them 7-8 high. So you doing that in the middle of the summer, 110 degrees, humping. You got to put up a fence at least 200-some yards. And that's one way. You still got four more sides to go on. You feel me?
Dang.
Yeah, post hole diggers. That's what it's called. Post hole diggers. I'm kind of country, so kind of slurred off a little bit. But post hole diggers, man, that'll put your hole back in there. Because you boom, boom, boom. Every post, over 100.
Yeah, no, we ain't had to do all that. But it was times where we just be out helping my granddad do random stuff, helping my uncles do random stuff, like riding ATVs. I remember one time we had to go to their neighbor's house, and their neighbor's so fucking far. Three of us just jumped on an ATV. It was like, all right, we'll be back in about an hour.
Yeah, we do dirt bikes that same way. Shoot, we Meek Millian the whole way. That's all you hear.
Yeah. And then, like, the road she lived on, wasn't no cars on for real. So we had to worry about, like, I mean, you still got to look out for cars, but for the most part, ain't nobody finna be out there. You can go down the road, go down a trail, and then come back out on the other side of the road if it's too much traffic.
Bruh, that, and then you got to come bike all the way bike. Bruh, like, we used to walk all that way.
Oh, yeah. Nah.
So we would walk that way and then have to come bike when they call, hey, man, I need them to come pick up some hay bales or go do something down here. We like, really, man, you got to come pick us up. We can't walk all the way bike and then you ask us to work again? No.
You never ride the horses down there?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that was the other lick. Saddle up the horses, go right back down there and make that move.
Yeah, I actually never ridden a horse before. I wanted to.
What?
Yeah, man. It's been on, like, my bucket list. But
man, you have to experience it. I just skydived the other day.
Oh, that's what's up.
I was in California for work. Before I left, I was like, I'm signing up to be this stunt man. So I do stunts now.
For real?
I got an agent and all that.
Oh, we. For real?
I got a whole agent and hey, all that. Yeah.
That's what's up.
That's why I be in the weight room trying to stay tough. So when I get through off a building, I survive that jump with a parachute. I'm ready. Throw me through a window and pay me two racks.
Hey. That's easy.
Yeah. It's a plastic window. It don't even scar you.
Oh, yeah. Slightly on topic. That remind me of, I did parkour in college.
Parkour.
Yeah, so by definition, parkour is the easiest way from point A to point B.
Okay.
By colloquial definition, building jumpers.
Building jumpers?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like them little cats that be jumping between buildings and flipping the jump?
Yeah.
I want to do that, but I got to lose like 30 pounds.
I mean, you could do it now, bro.
No, I could, but 25 pounds off me, I'm light. I'm booming.
Well, I'm saying, the thing is, like, you can learn now and get the technique. Once you get that technique down and you lose that weight, it's going to be like crazy.
That's another conversation we're gonna have to talk about.
Yeah,
but I'm about that. I actually make my stunt career go viral.
Well, the reason I bring it up was the guy that taught me parkour, he had been doing
called parkour.
Yeah,
he just taught me something.
Or free running, the same thing.
Yeah, I heard of free running.
Yeah,
because you look like you're just running from the popos.
Yeah, but he was a cop, and then he had been trained for like 2-3 years, and then he stopped being a cop to be a stunt double.
Yeah
I was like, crazy.
I'm about that. That's better than acting. People don't know it.
I can feel it. Because, a lot of actors don't want to be thrown through stuff and
not. Yeah, they're trying to keep stay pretty. I want that action. Yeah. I do one scene, throw me through a window, full rap.
Easy. What are some skills that you learn, you know, just growing up in backwoods that, you know, easily translated to like your everyday life now?
Oh, that's a good question. Skills I learned. That was a real good question. I tell you one thing I got from that growing up in a village. I was around so many personalities. I had to learn how to adapt. Mm. Certain people didn't like certain things. Other people's house, they got OCD. You got some cousins that they mama didn't care what time you came in, what you did. You really couldn't get in trouble. But then you had different eyes on you. So it basically taught me how to handle people. Mm. So I could say, to answer your question, people skills. Because everybody's different. And right. In the country, everybody is very different. Even though they're from the same place, they all have their quirks about them on the things they do different. So that's why I kind of said earlier, being raised by a village helped me out so much because I took all the good from everybody around me because I was literally around them so much.
Mm, okay.
Like my best friend's mom made me want to, like, a random cousin's uncle or whomever it was, the preacher down the street, because a preacher would come hoop with us. But then we couldn't cuss. But then we wanted to hoop around some older people, and he would bring two or three of his boys. But when we cuss, he would look at us like, see, that's why I can't even. But we trying to get our game up, you know what I mean? We can't get our game up without playing with big boys, and he's the only one that'll come down there and actually, like, spend time. So we like, ah. Oh. you gotta pick or choose your battle. Yeah, so it was like, man, you know what? I'm gonna switch it up. I mean, in corporate America, you do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You how you leave your house is not who you are at work. Some people don't get that. That's where you get the code switch from.
Sure enough.
Yeah, that's where you get the code switch from. But people don't understand that.
Yeah,
a lot of people do, especially all African Americans and anybody of ethnicities and things of that sort that comes from a background that is not the norm,
the majority
yeah. And the norm of America, they know I'm not coming up here speaking whatever language that you want me to speak. I gotta speak proper. Mm-hmm. Talk like you should hear my email. My email is magnificent. It is. My whole family called me and was just like, who is this guy? Like, who are you? I'm like, I'm a different person. And they never know. I smile at work all the time.
I'm weak.
Until you hear it.
That's funny because, like, when, you know, me growing up, my mom emphasized, you know, me and my brother and sister talking proper.
You lucky. I didn't get that. It was just like, hey, I just want you to grow up and not get in trouble.
That's a good goal, too.
My mom's talked more proper than most. She had education. She's an RN and stuff. But it was so much going on, I never just really focused on it.
Yeah.
My first email in college to a professor that wanted to give me a job was DU want WAT. Like, I was messed up. Me to come to your room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was horrible. Two was the number two. And he emailed me like, yes. And it was like with question marks behind it. Like,
yeah. I was fortunate with that. I went to a PWI. So I get to my college, and my freshman year was a bit of a transition, bit of a culture shock, because I went from 98% black high school.
Wow.
To
you was in an HBCU in college. I mean, in high school.
Slick, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, slick.
So then I go to Auburn, where it's 12% black, and I'm just like, the fuck? That's why people now, they're like, oh, you don't saw you from the country. It's because, like, I've been around, like, I spent 4.5 years around white people all the time. I was code switching the first half of the day and then back to my normal self the second half of the
day. Yeah. I played baseball in high school. So that was my code switch.
Oh, like, okay.
I know all the country songs, achy breaky hearts type joints. I can line dance.
Do you know Sweet Home Alabama?
I know all of it, bro. Like, that's what we used to practice to in baseball. And then when you would transfer over to football, I got my South Park Mexican homies. And that was another culture shock, too. I didn't know nothing outside of Mexican.
Outside of Mexicans?
Mexican. Man, the first time I called a Cuban, a Filipino, like, what's up, SA? Like, bro. Like, that's what I grew up around. Like, defensive end, whatever it was. My ace homie was a South Park. Like, cool. I go to his quinceañeras or whatever it was at the time. Like, I'm, like we sneaking Coronas and Pop's like, hey, Hans, you're good. Like, it was cool, man.
That was crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know nothing. Like, I had culture shots going all the way through, man. And that village raising the kid.
That village taught you how to deal with multiple personalities.
Man, yes.
So I guess those multiple personalities also help you now navigating through the corporate world. Because navigating the corporate world is more than just code switching. Because yeah, you can code switch to make yourself seem, you know, more friendly, more presentable. True. But, you know, there's more to it than that. You know, not saying it's at our place of work, but there are places where even though you are, like, friendly and presentable, mm-hmm. the white people that still won't fuck with you just because all the strength that you're black. And sometimes it's hard to find who that is, and sometimes you know who that is, and you can't really do shit about it because it ain't outright.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
so my pops always told me something that I take to this day, man. RIP to my pop, Celestia Dean Bacon, passed this summer. He told me, any new situation you get in, you need to find your landmine.
Like?
Meaning the people that if you step on them the wrong way, they will blow up in your face.
Oh, okay.
He said, once you find your landmine, my dad talked in code.
Mm-hmm.
People don't get how, like, when you talk, you think I'm so funny. When PB, Rico, all our big homies talk like that, they be like, bro, Steve, you funny, bro. I'm like, dog, I'm speaking in code. And the only reason why it's funny to y'all is because you can understand the code.
Mm.
And so he told me, like, figure out what your landmines are. So if you was going to walk onto a beach and you knew there were landmines there, you couldn't do nothing until you found out where those landmines are. Then you can navigate through the landmines.
Mm.
You can choose to blow one up from afar, throw a rock. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or you can walk up on it, dig it out so everybody else can see it, and then walk away. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So once you find your landmine, it's meaning finding the things that could blow up in your face, you can find a way to not become a threat. I can blow you up because you never can forget that you're a landmine yourself. That's the trick to it. You're walking in a landfill, but you also are the biggest landmine in the landfill. So if you bump into somebody else the wrong way, you just blew yourself up and them. Mm. But you might not have had bigger casualties as you thought because they might can survive. That makes sense?
Yeah, I feel you on that. Yeah.
So that's what I always keep to this day, and that's how I navigate through the work world. I allow people to be who they want to be around me. That's why people may say, man, Steve, you know everybody, X, Y, Z. I don't judge, man. And that's hard to say. People don't really go by that. But I don't judge. If you're an asshole and I can sit there and tell you're an asshole, I cheer your asshole shit on. Because I would rather know that you're an asshole than you faking to be an asshole and blow up at the wrong time on me. Mm. What's that saying about your enemies? Keep your friends close.
Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies closer.
And your enemy closer. It's because your friends, you know them. You know how they're going to move. The real ones even going to tell you how they're going to move.
Mm.
But your enemies are the only ones that would take you down. You know what I'm saying? They're the ones that want to do something against you to at least make you go down or do whatever. So you have to literally think about, like, man, you know what? My enemies is something I need to know about. That's the ones you want to keep closer. Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer, because it's easier to understand your enemies and how they're going to maneuver and how they're going to do things if you actually do that, if you keep them closer. So I allow people to be who they are around me. I have not switched since I left high school. I've grown, but I have not switched who I am. And that's why I get to say, oh, man, that you're an asshole. You're a dick. You're cool, you're cool, you're cool. What's the other thing? You're cool, you're cool, cool.
Fuck you.
Fuck you, cool. Fuck you, you're cool. And I just move like that. Yeah. And I see so much, man. All these hierarchies, they want the presence, just like any celebrity. They want the presence of them being known, but that's not who they are. That's not who they are. All these transitions, Kanye, all these other people. We get it, man. Like, I actually understand Kanye, man. You got caught up in the fame.
Mm.
Your mom passed, the love, the this, that, and the other. You lose yourself. But you need those people around you to be like, dude, you turn into a dick. But still support you.
Just the ones that keep it 100.
Yeah, man, 100, 1,000. Realistic. Like, slap me when I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I got partners I call now. Talk like we talked yesterday. We ain't talked in a year. Like, it's crazy, bro.
Yeah. I got a homie now. Like, whenever I got, like, tough decisions, what, about 3-4 weeks ago, I had a podcast episode I didn't really want to publish because I wasn't really feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
So I called him and I was like, hey, bro, I ain't feeling this episode. What I'm going to do? He laid out my options in front of me. And he was like, yeah, I know this ain't what you want to hear, but you ain't called me for the easy conversation.
Exactly. And that's the friend I would, bruh. That's the friend I will always ride with, man. I got a few on my list. And whenever I get married, I don't even know. I might have a long-ass room list. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because there's some guys, people don't understand the stages. My country people, that's why I love talking to country people. They say a man, probably a woman too, but I'm speaking more so of what he told me. A man matures every 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
7, 14, think your balls drop. Your balls ain't dropped. 21, you in college, but you in a whole new realm. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
You like, oh, college. You don't know what bills is. You smelling yourself. I can talk to women. I can do all this stuff. You ain't no man yet. 28, you start thinking about reality. Dang, work, 9 to 5. That is real. And you start realizing college wasn't a money train. College was an investment for me to retire one day in the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody thought you was going to college, and when you got out making, like, an engineer, you was good.
Yeah.
No, boy, engineer money ain't nothing. Like, we know that specifically. Like, that's why we do our hustles and stuff. Like, it's for real, man. Like, it's different stages, and once you understand the stage, that's why you ever heard, like, that's grown man weight right there.
Oh, yeah.
You ever heard that one? Have you ever thought about bodybuilders range from about 28 to, like, 50?
I've seen the older ones. I didn't really know that was the lower end.
I mean, if it's possible, do you know why? Or have you just really thought about it?
Nah, I ain't never just.
Because your body has never matured. You will never see a 21-year-old ripped to shreds as much as a 35-year-old. It's because your body has fully matured. That's why they won't let you go and play the NFL out of high school. But they'll let you play golf. They'll let you play soccer. That let you do anything that's not physical because your body is not ready for a grown man to tackle you.
Mm.
You need 4 years of body development. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that grown man strength real.
But all that stuff ties into everything. Man, the universe real, bro. I can go out on it. I love talking about stuff like this.
Nah, I feel it. I feel that. I can see the passion coming out of you, man. Has anybody ever asked you anything crazy because you country? You know what I'm saying? Like, or has it been like, oh, country people don't understand this or they don't understand that and blase, blase?
Yeah, all the time. So, first of all, that's why I say Houston instead of Crockett. I don't disclaim where I'm from.
Mm.
Crockett, people automatically go to Cracker. All that stuff. You know what I mean? For one. Secondly, they get me talking slow as I'm not knowledgeable of what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that when I talk country, I've got comfortable.
Mm, okay, yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they start taking me being comfortable as a weakness. When I get comfortable, the same person I was talking like a nerd around, I start talking normal to you. But you know what happens when I talk normal? It calms your soul and then allows you to be who you want to be.
Mm.
And that true essence of yourself comes out. Like, it ties back into what we were talking about earlier. You know what I mean? So it's just, nah, it's just, I get lost in my sauce sometimes, but it's just.
You can't get lost in the sauce.
Yeah, bro. It does happen, though. They do ask me, like, that's how they do. They try me.
Mm.
Once they believe they know who I am, you start trying me. That's the key I was trying to get to. They start trying you.
This is, like, see what they can get away with.
What they can get away with.
Yeah.
Like, you ever heard somebody just bluntly say the N-word around you?
Too many times, actually.
Right. So, I'm not the one that like to nip that in the bud.
Why not?
I like it to manifest. Because you're looking for a reaction. Mm-hmm. It's like that little kid that's crying on the floor because he don't get his toy. Let him cry. When he get up and realize you ain't got his toy, you tell him no again. When he start breaking out again, tap that ass. And then tell him no. Then he gonna be like, I just cried for 30 minutes for crying. And the second time he tapped my ass, and that third time he said, now I'm finna really dig in your ass. Like, pause. You know what I'm saying? I'm finna give you that work. He like, no, I don't think I want that work. You know what I'm saying? It makes people have to think like, oh man, I gotta change myself. I can't do that around him. Because everybody else wants to see a reaction. I don't give people reactions. Oh, I be thinking them in my head. I be like, I could blow this up. I don't know if I cuss on here. I probably already have.
Yeah, you can, bro. It don't matter.
Yeah, so I blow that bitch up. Like, but I'm like, no, I'll wait. Because guess what? You're going to do it in front of the wrong person. I can be that wrong person, or I can let somebody else be that person. That's what I like to do. You really didn't direct it at me. Mm-hmm. You might have been singing a song. So I'm not going to fuck up the vibe and be like, say, man, in that song you said this nigga, and I don't like that. I'm just going to let it pass. Mm-hmm. Because the real ones that actually care how I feel, they would never do it. Think mm-hmm. about that. They would never do it. White, black, indifferent, whatever. The yeah. people that actually care about your feelings would never really say it in front of you. Because what? You gave them the respect and never said it in front of them.
You know.
Oh, that's a good one.
Hey, like.
That's a good one.
Subconsciously, though, and I just, like, consciously realized this maybe, like, a year ago, I don't say nigga around my white friends. And I don't, like, anybody I'm cool with is like, oh, what's up? This my nigga, such and such. I don't say that around my white friends. Like, I never say it in front of them. I never address them as my nigga to their face. Like, none of that, ever. And
it, with me, it's not even just the nigga word. It's not even white people in general. I don't do shit that I don't like at all. In front of them. To make it cool, like, when I come in your house, I ask to sit down, to get a drink. Should I take my shoes off? Do everything. I don't just come in your house comfortable, if especially mm-hmm. my first time or whatever. You can get even second or third time. Mm-hmm. Like, a couple of my boys be like, man, if you're going to keep, like, stop asking me. I don't do that. And I take all that country stuff and put it into the world. I ask for everything. If I come to your cube, say, man, can I borrow a pen? Steve, man, I got a whole thing of pens and highlighters. Take what you want.
Yeah.
Can I have that? Not mean kind of bar. Yeah, man, you ain't even got to bring it back. 5 minutes later, here your pen. You can have it. I don't want it. Here you go. There you go. Nah, because I want you to do the same to me. Don't take nothing from my cue because it might irk me. And then I lose my cool. I'm not the cool person no more. I gave Steve a pen. He tried to, then I need to go get a pen. And I was in a hurry. I accidentally took his pen and lost his pen. Then he blew up on me.
I'm like almost the exact same way. And I guess it's that country shit. Cause like when I first started working my professional job, right? I almost got punched in the mouth when I went home over the vacation.
Ooh, by mama?
By mama. Started working my professional job. The first thing I did was like, so everybody in the older than me, cause I just started. Nah, it was my co-op. So I'm 19.
Co-op with who?
Mercedes. Mercedes-Benz in Vance, Alabama. Like, ooh, right by Tuscaloosa.
You was a Mercedes-Benz ass boy.
Hey, calm down.
Yeah.
My first day, though, I'm trying to learn everybody's last name. So that way I can go up to them and be like, hey, Mr. this and Mr. that.
Yeah.
And my boss is like, nah, you got to dress me as Mr., you know, last name. Just dress me as Bob. Dress me as Tim. Dress me as, you know, Jim. And I'm like.
Nah. It's Mr. Because I want you to dress me as Mr. Bacon until we become cool to be like Bacon Script, Bacon and Eggs. Because I got a lot of jokes that come with bacon. You know what I'm saying? I get called Kevin Bacon all the time.
So that's what I started doing. So it's like Mr. Bob, Mr. Tim, Mr. Jim. And I was like, nah, ain't no Mr., just Bob, you know, just first name. Now I've been working professionally 5-7 years if you count my co-op.
Yep.
I went home and one of my mom's friends came over. And I forget what her name was, but yeah. I didn't say Miss. In front of it.
Ooh. Yeah, that tears old people up.
Oh, when I tell you, like, my mama, she, like, glared at me from halfway across the room. I was like, oh, my bad. I mean, Miss, you know, whatever.
It makes you uncomfortable. And your mom just gave you a look. So think about in corporate America, a person not addressing you right, but you know everybody in the room, you dress everybody in the room. Mm. That one guard that comes in and be like, ha, 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 Kevin Bacon, ha, ha. And everybody look at him like, no, that's Mr. Bacon. I had somebody at work that's a hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Call me like, Bacon, da 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 da, made a joke. And I just looked at him like, I don't know you like that. I was talking to the big dog, the VP. And he literally stood up for me. And he was like, do you know Mr. Bacon? And I was like, I spoke up. Like, I'm like, if you, I want to know. See, this was a landmine turn around on you. You feel me? I'm like, I don't think I've actually met him.
Mm.
He was like, well, mind you, he was just talking to me, mm-hmm. calling me Bacon, whatever. This is Stephen Bacon. This is such and such. And he changed the tone. You know what I mean?
Put him in check real
quick. Put him in check real quick. But you see how I let that, the grenade take itself. You feel me? I let that. And then I'm like, yeah, now you check forever. You don't know how to joke with me. And you infiltrated the system.
That's wild, bro.
Yeah, bro. I'm telling you, the universe revolves. It's a revolving circle just like the infinity sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason why the infinity sign is a revolving circle. People think it's two circles. It's a circle twisted.
It's a Mobius strip, if you will.
Ooh, what are you talking? You talking? Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I don't even know how to say that word back. I got to Google that. I'm not afraid to say I don't know stuff. You say a Mobius strip?
Mobius. M-O-B-I-U-S.
What does that mean?
A Mobius strip, take like a strip of paper, right?
Yep.
And what you do, you take that strip, you like twist it, and then tape the ends together. And so it's a never-ending loop.
Yes, exactly.
So
yeah, I like learning. I like learning. That was nice. That was nice.
It's kind of crazy how essentially you taught people how to come to you correct.
Yes.
And also at the same time, like, once you give me that respect and we get each other mutual respect, we can chill. You know,
that's how you navigate America. But it's a small trick in there that I have to say. Common sense is not common.
Mm-hmm.
Logic is not common. And the reason why I say that is I've met people that are so smart, you dumb.
Book smart, no street smarts.
Like, they stand up and contest the big dog. But what they're saying is correct. Baby, it wasn't the time to contest the big dog when the supplier or whoever is in the room. Like, what are you doing? Even though you're right, that's the time when you just tap it, create another meeting.
I see so many similarities.
Yeah, you lost all navigation.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, so I see it's a similar thing that happened to me when I was little, right? Say me and my mom go out somewhere, and she having a conversation with whoever about whatever, and she getting in their ass, and she say something that's wrong. That is not the time for me to correct her. But I let her get in their ass, and then we get back in the car. I was like, hey, mom, by the way, when you said this, it was actually supposed to be that. Because most people, I would say, don't mind being corrected. It's like when you correct them and then make them look foolish.
Exactly.
That's when it's a problem. So if you take them to the side, you know, it's just me and you, like, hey, yo, by the way, you know, you actually should have said this or should have did that. Then it's like, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? I'll keep that for future use.
So that's why I say for how to navigate corporate America, you never want to become a threat.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, even though we were friends, you just let me know you will go against me and throw me under the bus in front of whomever. You wouldn't give me the respect to pull me to the side and tell you that. And that's why I say the universe is a revolving circle. You found that out as a kid.
Yeah.
What I say earlier, raised by a village. You found that as a kid. It might have been your mama. For me, it might have been the lady down the street that always give us sugar cookies. And we ran through her plants. You know what I mean? When I don't run through my grandma's plants.
You do that at your mama's house?
My grandma and her go to church together. And watch that one time she's sitting in church like, you know your baby boy ran through my, what? My grandma was cold taking me in the back of the church, handing it. You feel me? With a switch. She was, I'm talking about, out the holster. Like, you wouldn't even see it coming. Like, rah, rah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a revolving circle. So you learn that so young to be able to be in a corporate America. Nah, I'm not finna call him out right now. His big dog's in the room. But I think he needs to know this because it's worth $2-3 million investment that they need to know this. And I'm the only one that just realized, okay, if I go straight to him, I'm stepping on all my hierarchy toes. Say you got two people over you under him. If I give it to my boss never gonna try to take credit. So how can I politely let him know but not step on my boss's toes and become a threat to my two bosses but get the credit for it?
Just bring everybody in the room.
Yes and no, because you bring everybody in the room, first time hearing it, they can all go against you. You don't want people to go against you.
Okay.
Because they might know something you don't, because they hierarchy. They know the business side. Remember, you say you just an engineer. They know the business side. They're actually handling the money, the budget. The big people don't really know anything. They know the top level corporate business side. That's it. have a job, and their job is to manage all the people to actually get it done. So that's when you step to the big dog on the side and say, hey, man, I got some stuff that I want to talk to you about that I believe you're going to stay me and da, 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 I'm going to run it up through my hierarchies because that's who I am and that's who I respect. And they're the ones that's going to help me actually push it towards you to get to you the right way.
Mm.
And he'll be like, I respect you for respecting them.
I feel you.
And then he's going to be like, I'll be waiting on it. And then he'll get quiet. He won't say nothing else. And then you push it up, push it up, push it up. Boom, 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 boom. It go up the ladder. Next thing you know, hey, we got this such and such and such and such to do this and that other. You say, oh, man, I heard about that. Give me more. And you've been feeding him the whole time. He know about it. He know about it. So you just navigated it, and you didn't create any enemy because you as a low dog couldn't actually do anything by telling him. Going through your boss actually could make things happen.
Right, right.
So to get everybody happy and kudos and get the respect that you want, you tell them you're respecting your boss. You tell your boss you want to do something that's going to get both of us respected. And you meet them in the middle.
Okay, okay. I see what you're working with over there.
I can drip a little bit, man. I got a little bit of sauce in me.
Okay, I see you. Okay, that's some jewels right there.
That's some jewels. I'm chopping it up, man.
That is my biggest goal with the podcast. Like, I'll give you a topic, and I'll be like, you know, I want to talk about this and this. But at the end of the day, I want it to be a free-flowing conversation.
Yeah. So I've listened to podcasts before, and I actually like it. Because when I listen to them, the first thing I do is look at how long the podcast is. I'm like, ooh, that's an hour, something. But then I had my first interview with the radio station when I was doing the Signature Saturdays, which I'm bringing back.
All right, turn up. Now you back in town.
I realized that the topics had to be interesting enough that you would want to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Like the podcast I watched was like I was commentating and thinking the same thing, listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not the one where, like, yeah, I'm trying to, you know, how the culprit. No, and like, you answering questions. I don't want to answer questions. Like, that's how I get half the questions that we talk, that you ask me, is because I'm so enthused. Like, you don't even know how.
Yeah.
I have a book. It's Bacon's Manifestation Thoughts. Mm-hmm. I can literally tell you now, everything I'd almost done is in that book. The job, the internships, the zero gravity idea, the bachelor, finishing my bachelor's. Mm-hmm. The master's was a survival tactic.
Oh, how's that a survival tactic?
Oh, man. So, we were supposed to graduate in the spring, A, B's, F.
Mm.
I lost it. We used to breed dogs and stuff like that. I'm in the back throwing weights. I lost it, bro. You know how bad my mom wanted me to graduate. I lost it, throwing weights, whatever. Out of the blue, my mom called me. I said, Mom, it's over. I said, over? She said, what are you talking about? Got my grades, didn't graduate, whatever. I said, man, it's over. Like, I'm coming home. I knew that there's a chance that if I went back home, I'd be in jail in 3 months. And we're just going to say that product of my environment. Because I'm not going to go home. Say I graduated with an engineering degree. Working at McDonald's? Come on, guy. I'm like, it's over, Mom. Like, I can't. She, with the calmest, softest voice, sit down. She started running down the options. Hey, you thought this, thought this. I mean, I looked, I did this and this. I seen what the classes we offered. They ain't offered the next year. The only class in Texas is Lubbock, Texas. Texas Tech that offered the class. To fast forward, went down, took the class, graduated in the summer.
Turn up.
Oh, God bless my mama. I went to interviews the whole summer. Didn't get anything. And like I said before, I didn't know what to do. Because I did internships and worked under the dean. And at that time, I knew the dean personally. So you can counsel out his race. I won't even mention that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the guy personally. I went to his office, passed the secretary. And the secretary looked at me like, you can't. I say, ma'am, this is a life and death situation. And she looked at the fear and the tears in my eyes. It's making me tear up now. The tears in my eyes like, okay, baby, go ahead. And she was a black lady.
Mm-hmm.
Went in his office. I said, can I close your door? He's like, yeah. I said, you probably don't remember me, but I did a lot of NASA interns, a whole bunch of stuff for you. But I said, I want to be fully open with you. So can I take the school part off of this?
Mm.
Two men. old man, young man. Like, I'm blunt in there. He was like, yeah. I said, I just graduated with an engineering degree from this college. I got a rap sheet, meaning a resume. I'm speaking hood at this point. Like, I said, I got a rap sheet, a resume. Because he looked at me like, what? I'm like, a resume. I haven't been to jail, anything. I went on multiple interviews, haven't got a job. I said, I don't know what to do. I have to be out of my place in like a week and a half. And the only place I have to go is back home to Crockett. I said, because I'm so smart and where I come from, I will be in jail in 3 months because I'll be a product of my environment. And to be honest with you, I'm not good turning over fries. I'm going to make some money. I started my own car washing business at 10. I was selling Halloween candy at 6.
All right, hustling.
Hustling, bro. All the way up. I paid for my own music system in my car off of hustling. Everything, bro. So long story short, it was like, he literally looked at me and was like, you got fear in your eyes, I said, because I know what's going to happen to me. And I started tearing up. He was like, oh, shit, I'm tearing up now. He was like, you know what a GRE is? I said, no. He said, you know what grad schools is? I said, heard of it. Maya just went through 4 years of college. I'm like, heard of it. He said, like, getting your master's. I said, is that going to keep me from going home? He said, I need you to go take a GRE. The GRE will allow you to be XYZ. I said, does it cost money? He said, yes. I said, I have no money. The only money I got is the lady grass I'm finna cut and the people I'm finna move. This only give me like $5, $10 for the gas for me to get over there to get back home after I pack my stuff. He said, I need you to get the GRE. Mind you, it's like a Friday, Thursday. No, it's like a Thursday. I came back Monday. Like, I had fear in my eyes. Like, I was scared to go home because I knew the nigga. Well, I say that, but I knew the person I was going to be, bro. He said, you came back quick. I slapped down the GRE in his face. He said, what's that? I said, that's the GRE you wanted. And I think I passed it. I don't know how to score it, but I think I passed it. It got green. It got green on it. And I passed it. He said, you can't register that fast. I said, I know. He said, you ain't have no money. And I just, like, think of a hood moment where you just tilt your head like,
nigga, I made it
don't
happen.
Don't ask me. He told me, he was like, when you said you had no money, I tilted my head like, I told you I would be in jail in 3 years. I mean, in 3 months, I can get some money. You feel me? He was like, come with me. Put me in grad school. Ever since then, I took off. Boom. I did zero gravity flights. I worked with NASA, two different NASA bases. Never looked back.
And that's what's up.
Everybody has a turning point in their life. That's how my turning point went. It almost got me in tears, I was trying to tell you. I don't know. I can't remember where we was going with that part. Like, I was telling you how.
I mean, that's fine. That's good. You know what I'm saying?
I knew it had. You stopped me because I was telling another story. But that story there is what made Bacon understand corporate America. You have choices, bro. And that was my choice. And I happened to have the nerve to tell the dean of engineering, I have no more choices. It's go home. Because I didn't know no better. I didn't know. He gave me a choice to go do that. Shit, I got this motherfucker done. I got it done, dog.
Yeah. It's like, stay away from home by any means necessary.
Yes.
When I was in college, my hometown's called Lynette.
Lynette, okay.
Me and my homies called the Lynette disease.
Yeah.
If you graduate high school and you stay there more than a year and a half, you either end up pregnant,
yep,
dead, or in jail.
Yep.
And I told my mom, like, my junior year of college, I told myself, like, I'm not staying in Alabama. Whatever job I got to get that take me out of Alabama, I'm taking it. I'm not staying in Alabama. I've been here 21 years. No, like, there's nothing else here for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting my education. That's almost done. Grew up. I know what the state can offer, but it ain't enough. I think a lot of it comes from, like, having that drive to get the fuck out. That's one thing about small towns and being in the country. It's like, it's not a whole lot to do, but it's a lot of trouble you can get in. Like, when you realize that amount of trouble, that'll just fuck up your life. It's like, nah, I got to get out of there. I can't stick around and wait for that shit to happen to me.
So the crazy thing about the hood people is, bro, when you think about this theory, at one point, you have to choose your life over someone else's. And I'm going to go in depth with that real quick, little short. when I realized at a young age that to not go to jail about something I did not do, I would have to snitch on a person that did the shit. And I knew he did the shit. And everybody knew he did the shit. That had nothing to do with me. I was just there with him, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was facing 5 years, and he wasn't even in it. If I snitched, I come home, and damn near was taken out. Not respected. You know, that's all a person has these days is respect. Not respected. Look as a snitch. Probably jumped throughout the years, whatever. Or not say anything about the truth that doesn't involve me. Go to jail for 5 years of my life. Keep a record for, you know how the system goes, for the boundary of the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And then have to fight for my ass in prison. Mind you, prison might not be as bad as people say it is. But I used to be locked in my room when I get in trouble. I had a PlayStation, and I still was like, my mom wanna go outside. You feel me? So yeah. I'm like, when I realized I had to make that decision, bro, it was easy. Now, don't get me wrong. I fell back into stuff I wasn't supposed to be. I'm not perfect. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's what God is, only one perfect. But I knew, like, I didn't want to put my life in someone else's hands. Because if they snitch on me, they doing the same thing I'm doing. If I snitch on them, we got each other life in each other hand. If you realize, if you hang with me, you know, nah, I make every decision on my own. And if whatever consequences is, I can take it. My daddy told me that. He said, son, I never worried about you because you was wild, but it was a calculated wild. Because when you used to get in trouble, you would take your ass with like a man, like GQ. You would cry like a mug, but you would take it because you knew it. He said, your mama told me that if you didn't do it, you wouldn't shed one tear. Straight poker face. But if I did it, before you go get the belt. You feel me? So it's, you got to have that turning point, bro. Everybody has that turning point in their life.
Mm. Okay. Well, this is a more serious podcast than I thought.
Yeah, no.
I
would do whatever you need to do, man. Do it. I know we've been supposed to do a whole bunch of podcasts.
Yeah, man.
Whenever you want to do another one, bring me back. Because I even got some people that I believe that could even be hitters on a podcast.
Hey, I'm down for whatever.
Man, shoot, Team Stop Playing could be a part of this, man. We actually do room decor. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Team Stop Playing is all around. Like,
what don't y'all do?
Manage DJs, we create events, we do event planning. You know what I'm talking about? Let me see. I'll be the groomsman in your wedding. Like, I look good on your back pictures, you feel me? Whatever it is, dog, Team Stop Playing is not just an entertainment company. It's not just incorporated. I try to look at it as a universe to help provide. Like, I do a whole bunch of giving back to the community, mm-hmm. from types of kid programs, talking to young kids and all that. So I like to use Team Stop Playing for what it is. Like, stop playing with your life. Do better. Get it right. Whatever you need help with, you have mentors. You have people that do what you do, of did what you did. I'm that person that damn near relates to everybody. That's why everybody like, Steven's cool. Mm, yeah, because yeah. I did it all. Skydive don't matter. Motorcycles don't matter. About it.
This just came back to me now, and I'm mad about it. I normally have people do like a short introduction halfway through, and then that's the time Shameless plug, so that's the time for you to plug Team Stop Playing. But you, I don't know if you count that as your Team Stop Playing plug.
Oh, okay. All right, so let me get my interview voice on. All right, man, you got Stephen Bacon, a.k.a. Sabo Dean, repping Team Stop Playing, Entertainment, INC, all of the above. I just want to thank CJ the Sixth.
Yeah.
For letting me be on the podcast, man, I've loved the time here. Navigating America, country boy life, how I intertwine with each other. So, man, I've had a wonderful time. I will be coming back. Team Stop Playing will be in the building for season 3. He's supposed to invite me, but I might come back anyway. You feel me?
You just gonna pop in the house. Pop like, in the house. Turn the mics on.
Yeah, turn the mics on. Like, I'm working on my radio voice. You feel me? Like, you gotta get it in. But nah, full respects out to my boy. I love what he's doing. He's consistent with this podcast. So I love the energy.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it, man. And that's been another episode of the Six of Friends podcast. You can find me on iTunes.
Yeah, yeah.
Google Play Music. Now I'm on Spotify.
Ooh, boy, taking over the radio waves.
Stitcher, Anchor.fm, you know what I'm saying?
T-Stop Play. Gay, gay.
Hey, and Bacon over here acting a fool just hey, in front
know,
of the mic.
Man, y'all don't even know how I've been waiting on getting on these mics, man.
Hey, if you got any podcast ideas that you want to hear, you know what I'm saying, DM the IG, Six and Friends Pod. That's the number 6, IX and Friends Pod. Hey, and we out.